Are you at the point where you're like, you know what? I can manage my money myself, but I think I may need to hire a financial advisor. But what type of financial advisor do I get? How much do they cost? What are some of their services? All this can kind of be overwhelming, especially when you're approaching retirement and you want to be thinking about your vacation or how much time you're going to be spending with your grandchildren, things of that nature. But today, we're going to talk about how to know if you even need a financial advisor and what kind to get. So if you're at that stage where you're looking to hire one, this is the episode for you. So lock in, tune in, and I'm gonna give you all the details and the secrets that you need to be successful.
On the Money and an introduction to financial advisors, from when to use one and how they can help us reach our goals. Here to offer advice for managing our money is CNBC senior personal finance correspondent Sharon Epperson. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So a financial advisor sounds like something so fancy, you know, but why would somebody ever need to have a financial advisor?
Well, a lot of people just need a little extra help when figuring out what to do with their money when they've had a major life change, whether that's having a baby, getting married, getting divorced, entering retirement, getting a new job that they really want to maximize. And they want to have someone that has the experience when they don't have the time or experience really to necessarily handle their finances, and someone who might be able to give them a better strategy to reach their goals. They know what their financial goals are, but they want someone who might have the expertise to help them find the right strategy.
So we're off to a good start. I do want to add a little bit of caveat. That's what I'm here for, to give you the details that the news doesn't have time to give you. They've identified around 21 major life-changing events in one's life. It could be the birth of a child. It could be a divorce. It could be a marriage. It could be a separation. It could be a loss of a job. It could be moving to a different state. All these different life changes. So it's like, do I hire a financial advisor before or after these things happen? I'm a little biased. I think you should hire them before, because if you hire them after you've already made the purchase of the new house, they can't help you with the contract terms and the interest rates because they're already locked in. If you call a financial advisor after you buy your new vehicle, then once again, they can't negotiate the prices or help you understand what the interest rate's going to be and how much you're going to pay and how to pay that down. Everything is going to be reactive instead of proactive. But she's right. If you have a lack of experience or just a lack of time, I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather somebody else handle it who's already had the experience and they can jump right on into it. And then also, if you need a better strategy, if like things are working, but I think I can maximize some more things, because some of us think that a CD and a savings account is going to get us there. And it's worked for so long, but in this new economy, it just doesn't in most cases. So having a financial advisor to guide you through those different strategies is actually a good idea. But this is a good start.
Have a certain amount of money to even start looking for one?
You don't need to have a certain amount of money necessarily to find a financial advisor. The rates that they charge can vary. Sometimes it can just be an hourly rate, and some may be able to offer some advice, at least initially, for free.
So if you can't afford maybe those fees up front, what other resources are there, Sharon?
All right. I didn't mean to stop it so quickly, but she kind of breezed over the pricing. That's what you're here for. I mean, all this other stuff is negligible. Like, how much do you need? How much are they going to charge, and how are they going to charge? So let me break this down as simple as possible. I don't want to make this too long, but there are a couple of ways you can pay. One is hourly. So let's say that you just have a project. Let's say that you are planning on rolling over your 401k into a traditional IRA. But you really don't know how to do that. You would like somebody to kind of walk you through the process to limit the amount of taxes that you pay. So let's say I'm retiring. I want maybe $10,000 for some home improvements. How can I go about that? Your financial advisor will walk you through the process of doing maybe like an indirect rollover, or they will roll the money over, tell you to delay at a certain year. You know, maybe it's the end of the year, take half now and take half later. There's different strategies that you can have, but they'll make sure you can get the money with the least amount of taxes made and get you into the right account, so you don't have this huge tax bill later on in April when you file your taxes. Now, that's hourly. Some of them do a flat fee. So let's say that maybe you have $250,000 or $200,000, and they're like, hey, we're just going to establish this plan. You're young. You have a good savings already, but you don't need much change right now. Let's do a flat fee. I'll charge you a flat fee. We'll create you a financial plan, and we'll send you on your way. And then if you need a revision, we'll come back and we'll pay again. So sometimes you can do that as well. There's another form of flat fee. So there's a one-time flat fee for creating your financial plan. And then there's like a there's a flat fee for being a financial advisor. So let's say that the fee is $10,000 per year. They'll do everything that you need. They'll create your financial plans. They'll update your financial plans. If you have any decisions as far as home ownership, auto, investing, employment benefits, all those type of things, you can talk to your financial advisor. You can have a conversation all through the year. No matter if you use them 1,000 times or you use them twice, it's still just a flat fee. And the last one is what they call assets under management, where the financial advisor gets a percentage of the assets that you bring on, typically around 1-2%. You may be thinking like, well, you don't have $1 million. She's going to be making X amount of dollars per year. That's true. But the one thing we love about AUM is that one, it's only a small percentage. So some of these underlying fees in your mutual funds and things that you're paying sometimes can add up. So having a financial advisor that can guide you through that, lower some of your fees that you have on the investments that you have, and then also provide that advice is actually really good for such a small amount. Now, the great thing about AUM is that when your portfolio does good, your fees do go up, but you're making more money. So you get to keep 99%. You get to keep 98, 99% of the growth, and your advisor only gets, 1 or 2%. Now, when the account goes down, once again, your fees go down too. So you and your advisor are in it together. I always make the joke that my clients are calling me when the economy is down, or maybe something's a little bit rough. And it was like, what are you doing? I was like, I was already on the phone. I was already trying to make some changes, trying to figure out what we're going to do. Why do I have such a vested interest in your growth? Because I don't make any more money until you do. And that's the beauty of it. And guess what? If you lose money, guess who loses money too? Me. But in a flat fee, regardless if your account goes up or down, you pay the same amount. So, you may be in a bad year or maybe in a bad 2 or 3 years and your advisor is still making the same amount of money. And you're like, he's like, wait, hold on, time out. You're still making all the money you want to make and my accounts are doing bad. I mean, I don't really like that. So it works for some people, but it's just not for me. So what I do on my website, I actually have 3 options. I have one, I have a good faith review. What a good faith review is that if you have accounts somewhere else, but you don't know if they're doing the right thing, you just need a second opinion. I will review all your investments, look over your financial plan and point out some things that maybe you can improve or maybe you want to talk to your financial advisor about. Then I have a one-time plan. Sometimes people just need to organize their finances. It's not necessarily they need to grow their investment account, or maybe they don't have enough money to start growing their investment account, but they want to organize their checking, their savings, look over their budget. They want to make sure that they understand the match at their 401k plan. So we'll put together a financial plan and some projections that they can use as guidance until they get their feet under them. But my favorite, obviously, is the AUM. The one thing I love about it is that we have a relationship. Like I said, when you win, I win. When you lose, I lose. We're in it together. It's a relationship that we build. I know everything about you. You learn a lot about me.
That helped you get that kind of financial advice.
I think people should know, first of all, that that initial consultation that you have with a financial advisor should always be free. You just need to figure out if this is someone that you can work with, and that should cost you nothing. Many employers now are saying their employees want to be financially well, and to do that, we're going to help them. We're going to provide some financial coaching for free. So that's some place to look. Also, your bank or your credit union may have some financial planning services that you may want to look at. And there's some pro bono programs from trade organizations like the Foundation for Financial Planning, organizations, nonprofits like Savvy Ladies, where you can get financial help from an advisor and you don't have to pay anything.
I see a lot of financial advice on social media like TikTok, things like that. Can you trust that?
Well, I think it's important to get the information and then do some of your own research. Mm-hmm. You want to know the education, the credentials, the background, the compensation of the person who's giving you the advice. That goes for anywhere that you're getting the advice, and particularly on social media.
And how those advisors are being compensated.
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many different kinds of financial advisors, Sharon. How would someone figure out which one's right for them?
It's hard because it's a catch-all term for so many things. I mean, you start with maybe a robo-advisor, someone that is not an actual person, but you filled out a questionnaire and there's like an algorithm that kind of directs you to the type of investments that you want. That's probably the lowest cost way to do it. But then there's also a financial coach who's giving you some motivation and helping you with some basic money management skills. A certified financial planner, if you want a holistic view of your finances, going from budgeting to retirement savings, what do I need for insurance? What do I need to think about for estate planning? That is someone that has to have had some rigorous educational requirements to get that certification, and that's someone that you may want to look for that. And a wealth manager is just going to be looking at your investments, offering you investment advice, giving you strategies there. A lot of people have issues with money based on trauma, based on things that have happened, that really some behavioral therapy may be needed in addition to some financial coaching. So there are financial therapists out there.
You know, it always makes you feel good when they talk about certified private wealth advisors or certified financial planners, people who go through a rigorous standard to be who they are. You can actually look up my designation, the Certified Private Wealth Advisor professional designation. You can look on the website. She's right. There are different types of financial advisors. Now, the thing is, they're not different types of financial advisors. There's different types of people who call themselves financial advisors. Let's be very clear. I am a financial advisor. Those other people are what they are. They're wealth managers, they're financial therapists, they're financial coaches, they're robo-advisors. I'm not saying these are bad people, but everyone has a different level of engagement that they need. So once again, if you just need, let's say you have a few thousand dollars and you just need a low-cost option to start investing, a robo-advisor may be a great option for you. You go in, you put your money in, and it does what it needs to do. Or you have a financial coach, you need somebody to really work over a budget. Maybe you don't have any extra money, but you need someone to work with you for the next 3, 6, 9 months, getting your budget in order for all your expenses versus your income and establish something that you can work toward. A financial coach is great for that. You don't want to overpay for someone like me to do those things, because one, is very easy for me to do that, so it wouldn't be any work at all. And two, what it costs to hire me, you won't be using a majority of the things that I offer because you just don't have the assets. It's not a bad thing. It's just that, think about this. If you have $5 and you said, what should I do with the $5? I'll say, I don't know. Get a wallet, right? Go buy a wallet, put the money in, and that's how you're going to say. But if you said, I had $5,000, I'll say, oh, now you need to open up a checking account, you need to open up a savings account, and you may need to open up a sunken fund or something like that. Then you'll say, well, I have $5 million. And I'll say, oh, okay, now you need your investments. You know, what about your 401k? What about your brokerage account? What about some trust? What about some life insurance? All this stuff starts to accumulate based on your assets. Now, a wealth manager, once again, just focuses on your investments. That's it. So they'll say, this is what your investments are. This is what your allocation is. Maybe we make some changes here. And that's what a majority of banks are. They're wealth managers. So when you go to your local bank and you talk to their quote unquote financial advisor, rarely are they putting a financial plan together. What they're doing is they're going over your investments and they're telling you what you should invest in. And that's all that they do. When I am breaking down a situation like this, or maybe other situations, I am going through some of the behavior issues that are related to money, because just saving, if it's just about savings, then everyone can do it. But there is a behavior, there's a mentality we need to fix. So I hope that helped you understand the different types of financial advisors and how me, as a certified private wealth advisor professional, is really at the high standard, you know, the golden standard of what a financial advisor is and how they can impact your life. So, you know, when you're talking about millions of dollars, you know, you've saved up your whole life, you don't want to give that to a financial coach, you know, somebody who's not certified, somebody who just picked up a couple of books on budgeting and said, hey, can I help you? You really want to deal with somebody who's going to take a holistic view, mortgages, life insurance, as I said before, brokerages, your estate plan, your beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries, your account titling, all that stuff is going to be important. So you can leverage all the services so you can pass on your legacy. Okay, let's keep going.
We've done our research. We see who we want to help us. So now we're sitting in the room with the financial advisor that we chose, and we're about to show them all our assets, everything we have. So what questions should you bring to the table?
This is someone you've got to trust, mm-hmm. and you have to make sure that they're going to do the best that they can with your money. So you want to make sure that you ask about their credentials. You want to make sure that you ask if they are a fiduciary. That is a word, sounds very wonky, but it's an important word. It means that they are going to put your best interest ahead of their own and their own profits. And so if they're a registered investment advisor with the government, with the Securities Exchange Commission, they have to be a fiduciary. salary, you also want to make sure that you find out how they're compensated. Are they going to charge you a flat fee? Are they going to charge you a commission based on the investments that you have?
Both.
Or a both, or a percentage of assets that they manage. And they could do a range of those different things. And then how are you going to keep me on track? How are we going to communicate? How are you going to make sure that the goals that I have in mind, that you say you're going to help me get there, how are you going to make sure that happens? And how have you done that with other people? And then going to the Securities and Exchange Commission website to really vet them and see if there have been any complaints against them. That's another place to go.
This is amazing. I love all this, right? What are your qualifications? As you know, I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional. I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'm going to say it a bunch of times because I am very proud of my credentials. And I love videos like this because it really validates all the hard work that I put in to get these qualifications. Because to become a financial advisor, there are a few industry tests that you need to pass and things of that nature. So you have a basic knowledge. But to get a designation like a certified private wealth advisor, take on additional education, one, but then also additional responsibility to take care of the client. So us at AB Ridgeway Wealth Management, once again, the link is going to be right below at the video. We are a fiduciary. We are a registered investment advisory firm. So we don't get paid on a commission base. It's not that I sell you a product and I get a percentage of that commission and I get to choose what product I sell you because I'm gonna make more money. No, I get a percentage of assets because you pay for my services. So regardless if you get mutual fund A or mutual fund B, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you get the mutual fund that's going to reflect your risk tolerance and is going to be suitable for you. In order to keep you as a client, it is very imperative that I make sure you are successful because there's no other way that I'm going to get paid if you are not. I said this earlier. If you win, I win. But if you lose, I lose. So for me to put you in a bad product because of commission, I'm going to lose in that way. That makes sense. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the best for you. Now, how will you help me stick to my goals? Obviously, we have financial planning software for that. And then, yes, you could check for qualification at advisorinfo.sec.gov.
And speaking of that, Sharon, so what happens if you're not thrilled with what's happening and how they're handling your
money? Break up.
Yeah,
you want a relationship you don't want anymore.
Yeah,
you don't want anymore. So you have to assess your financial situation. What is it that's really getting you here? Is it because you haven't gotten the returns that you want on your investments, or is it that you just don't really see the value or trust this person? Figure that out, and then also make sure that you understand. Let them know that you plan to leave, but understand what the cost may be. There may be some costs and fees involved with transferring money to other accounts. So you want to have in mind where your money would go. If not with this person managing it, who else might be you have in mind to do it, or will you be able to do it yourself? These are all questions you want to ask yourself.
Before we wrap up, I do want to go back to this screen here. It says rethinking your financial plan. It says assess your financial situation. That's right. We don't necessarily want to base our criteria if he's a good financial advisor or she's a good financial advisor by the returns that you have, because sometimes the returns are outside of our control. If you're in a bad economic cycle, right? Maybe 2 or 3 years in a bad cycle, it's going to look like your financial advisor is not doing well. We can't control the market. We can only control our participation in it. So what happens? We talk about behavioral finance. So let's say you have an advisor, you just meet them and the market starts tanking, right? We start getting into a bear market and it's there for 2 or 3 years. And your advisors actually have you well positioned for the downside risk that you're going to have to try to maneuver during this time. Then you say, you know what? You're not good. I'm leaving you. And you go to another advisor and the market starts spiking up. It's a recovery, right? We're going into this bull market for the next 2 or 3 years. And you go, this guy's a lot better than my last advisor because he was just a horrible person. And then that person puts you in too much risk. And then the market crashes again. And then now you're down to half of what you had. And you wish you would have stayed with the original person. So I tell you these stories, not because I'm trying to scare you or just trying to keep you with your financial advisor, but understand what is actually influencing that financial situation. Sometimes clients are taking too much money out, and I'll be very frank with that. Sometimes we give them a safe withdrawal rate of around 4%, maybe 5%. And they start pulling out 8-10%. Every other month, there's a home improvement project or a vacation they want to go on. And this is just a one-time thing. And they're taking out $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And that reduces the amount that they can actually take out per year safely and still live through retirement without having to go back to work. And that can cause some negative returns or some negative effects on your portfolio. Also, notify your advisor that you're leaving. Yes, if you don't feel comfortable with that person, if they're not listening to you, if you feel neglected or they don't appreciate you, yes, you can feel free to leave. I think it's worse that you're in a relationship you don't like, but remember that it's not about the returns, because if you're just breaking up because the market is not doing so well, that may not be a legitimate reason to leave, because you're just really chasing returns. And if you do that, you're going to be running your whole life. And, you know, you might settle on an advisor that might be there for 4 or 5 years and you might like them a lot. And then you'll just settle down and say, you know, forget it. But you may be giving up some really great advisors in the meantime. This was a really good episode. I thought it really introduced some good concepts around financial advisors, what they are, what you should look for, how you should hire one. Once again, if you need a free consultation, I say this almost every video, but you can go in the description. There's going to be a link where you can speak to me for half an hour and we can kind of go over your plan. You know, what are some of your needs that you need and maybe what type of financial advisor you need. It may not be me, but I might be able to point you in the right direction based on your situation. It says, hey, based on what you told me, you may need a robo-advisor, or you need to look for a financial coach, or maybe you need some financial therapy because you have a lot of money, but you just need to control some of your spending behavior or something like that, or how you even think about money. Those are going to be the things that we answer in the conversations, but it's really about getting to know you, how we can help you and what some of our services can do for you. If you need to learn more about me and our services, you can always go to our website, www.abrwealthmanagement.com, or you could download our 4 pillars to Christian investing. It's a retirement guide. It goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. That's my recommendation. You can go on Amazon. You can spend the money if you want to, but it's free in the description. If you just, you know, it's like a thank you for watching the video, and you can talk intelligently about your account before even meeting me. You say, hey, I have a 401k, or I have I have some debt that I want to pay off and I'm trying to look for the snowball technique. Can you guide me in the right direction? Or, you know, hey, I have this retirement account. What should I do? Okay. Those are some of the things I can kind of help you with. So if you like videos like this, make sure you subscribe, you like and comment. But what can you do for me? You can watch another video, and I'm going to have two at the end. And if you do like me, there's a little circle with my picture in it. If you click it, it's going to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss episodes like this, so you can be rich and you can be righteous. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.